Aloha mai kākou, everyone. Welcome to the Moana Nui podcast. We hope everybody's doing well. My name is Moana. I'm the host. Dana is my partner in crime. And our sis at the bottom here, Kumu Michelle Manu, who is graciously doing this wonderful new segment for us on Indigenous Legal Insight. So tonight, the topic is estate planning, and you might be listening to this and being like, okay, why the heck should I care about estate planning? Are you talking about I'm going to buy a house, like real estate? Is that what you're talking about? I don't know. Some people don't even understand why this topic is important, but I want you guys to really tune in, share this, because this is some really good information. Everyone needs to know this is about protecting the assets that you've worked your entire life. You bust your butt. So much stress that we go through to earn our assets. And we want to be able to keep that and pass it on to our ohana, our next generation, so that they can have a leg up and not have to start from scratch, like probably a lot of us have had to do.
Yeah.
And then also, so transferring ownership of those, and then the tax part of this, because everybody knows, if you're living, you're breathing, you're watching this, then you pay taxes.
Yes.
Taxes on top of taxes, on top of taxes.
Yes. So with this whole topic of estate planning, we want to give you guys some tips on how you can reduce it as much as possible and the things that you need to be putting in place to do. And this is not just for people who are like, oh my gosh, I'm doing these things, I'm going to die. No, this is just things, best practices and tips that the wealthy use that they don't want us to use. Tune in. And I see folks have started to come in. Aloha, welcome. Come on in. We want this to be interactive tonight. So Please comment, ask questions. If you have questions about your specific situation, you can do that, or you can say, ask it for a friend, whatever. And if you want to ask questions, also mention the state that you're in, because there are nuances in the state law among some of these. And Kumu Mado will do her best to advise those. And if we can't get to the question right now, she will get back to us later and try to help you guys that way.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's like Moana said, we're talking about this before we came live. And I want to start the show to kind of give some connection for you all. I was talking about 15 years ago at my previous company, we had a guest speaker for those that live in the South, Clark Howard, the guy for the little people, letting us know all the tips and things we need to know, the businesses we need to be aware of. But we had him as a guest, and he was talking about everyone needs a living will, no matter how old you are. You'll hear it even at the hospital when you go for your children. Do your children have a living will? Do they have a medical affidavit? All of this. And a lot of us tend to, especially people of color, we put it off because unless something happens, that's when we need to worry about it. But then he was letting us know for the state of Georgia, and hopefully now that law has changed, if you're a divorcee, and you're a woman, and if something happens to you and you don't have a living will, your ex-husband has say-so over your assets and your things. And it doesn't matter how long y'all been divorced, he has first rights according to that law in Georgia. And the people in the audience, including myself, was just like, oh, no. But a lot of people don't know about those old laws that are still very active in a lot of these states. And this is a time you need to kind of know that information, because it's not when you get sick and you're in hospice or you're on your sick bed. This is in case you, knock on wood, you're in an accident or something happens that takes you suddenly. And we see often these GoFundMes that from family saying, hey, we just lost my parents, lost a sibling, lost a child, and we are not financially or have anything in order, and we need help. And this conversation is to help you get your stuff set up so you don't have to worry about that and scramble to get finances and everything else together to make things happen. Kumu Manu, let's start it off. Like, why estate planning? Why, other than what I just said, Why should people be really concerned on getting this done and have it lined out for their families to know about for themselves?
So it's great questions. What is estate planning? What does it encompass? Does it encompass real estate law? Moana said. So estate planning is where we strategically and legally leave instructions that provide financial security for our loved ones after we leave our physical form. So actually, while we do, we are still in our physical form, but are incompetent. And I'll talk about that in a little bit. So if we leave proper documentation, bona fide legal documentation, not verbal, which we'll talk about what verbal will is in this time together. We leave this documentation of our wishes and we leave it for someone, our power of attorney or our executor, to effectuate as if they are us. And it helps us to ensure that our property and our physical person, if we are alive, are taken care of the way we want it to. So the property is passed to who we want it to. That is passed to the beneficiaries we specifically name, because we always know there's other people that come out of the woodwork later on and say, I knew her. I was in a relationship with her. She promised me this. Look, I have this email and it says nothing about it. But then the judge has to consider that. And then we'll talk about what brings us to probate court. Why do we even need to see the judge if we've done our paperwork properly? And then also, if we are incompetent, how do we make sure that we're resuscitated in the amount of times that we want to be resuscitated, if at all? Yes. Do we want non-opioid or opioid pain medication? When do they take us off life support? How many medical opinions do you need? So this is estate planning. It benefits us while we're alive, and also more importantly, while we're no longer here and our loved ones are grieving and still having to handle what they're having to handle. So it's also helpful to avoid disputes among family members and other non-family members that feel they're entitled to some of your property. And if done properly, we avoid paying unnecessary taxes, avoid probate court, and provide protection for our assets and our beneficiaries, and they can move on harassment free. So that is pretty much what estate planning is. It's very broad, but yet very specific.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Of course, the first question, of course, everybody hears about, you need to have a will. What is a living will, and what makes it different than any other types of wills that are out there?
A will is a clear and concise legal document that sets forth your property and how your property will be distributed. So to others, or liquidated and distributed to others. It depends on what you want each asset to do. Sometimes there's liabilities too that need to be paid off. But the person making the will is the testator. The testator will designate an executor who will ensure that the estate is distributed the way that you want it to be. And that is laid out in the will. The testator also names beneficiaries, preferred guardians over minor children, elderly parents or relatives, as well as animals. You can't forget our animals, right? Some have even named their plants in their final documents, if you can believe that. So most states require that the last will and testament be notarized, but of course, the state of Hawaii does not. So please check with your state of residence. Wills can be made by individuals and also by or with jointly, and we'll talk about this, domestic partners or legal spouses. So that's what a will is. It's a document that cannot be altered. If you alter it, you'll have to rescind it, terminate, and enter into a new one.
Mm-hmm. That's good to know. Now, when you say terminate and re-enter a new one, what is that process? Because I've seen people, like you said, in certain states, you don't have to get it notarized. So they just rewrite it, or they have a copy of whatever they written in a drawer somewhere that people find later on as they're going through the house. What is the proper process of making sure that it's entered? And the person in our audience, he's in Montana. What is the process for someone in Montana or other states should follow for their will?
Okay, so every state is different. You're going to find this as we go through our time together, that there's different requirements. Some will require that you have two witnesses. Some states won't require that you have any witnesses. Some will require that it's notarized to prove that it's you, and some don't care. There are holographic wills too, and these are the handwritten wills that we'll see instead of them being typed out. These will sometimes, how do I say this? Sometimes they'll be honored with the court, sometimes they won't, unfortunately. And it depends on when it's made. Obviously, the date is a requirement. When was this made? Because this could actually be one of those wills that were done during or after a life near-death experience or life crisis where someone is under duress emotionally and another person is in their ear and in their face about changing things that they would have never changed if yes. they're sound frame of mind and body. This is something that we need to be careful of. So this would be also an oral will, same, is very rarely valid in the eyes of the court. There are just certain things with each state. There are certain aspects that need to be fulfilled. Now, for Montana, let me make a notation on that, and I will go ahead and give you the essential elements that are required for a will in Montana. Okay. All right. What I'd like to talk about now is also a pour-over will. A pour-over will is very fascinating. It operates and works with a living trust, and we'll go over what a trust is. To backtrack a little bit, the most important documents that I have seen, of course, there's others, is the will, last testament, and also a living trust, okay, or trust. You can call it either one. Sometimes they're synonymous. In different states, they're not synonymous, so we have to actually take a look at the exact title. There's also the power of attorney or medical directive or power of attorney for financial, which is also the financial power directive. And so they're named different things in different states, but they're essentially the same. These are extremely important. This is for when you are alive and can no longer speak on your behalf. These cost very little to put into place. The essential elements, again, are by state. They're set forth. And you can draft it yourselves and sign it before a notary. Witnesses are not necessarily needed in most states. Some do require witnesses. And you also give a copy to the person or the people that you're designating as your power of attorney. So some of the things that are on this medical power of attorney, when I prepare them, is your full name, address, at the time that you are subscribing to this power of attorney, telephone, email address. Then also, usually I'd like to include the last four of your social to make sure that it's you. You don't want anyone coming back and saying, this weren't her wishes. No, it is. These are the last four of her social. And your medical provider will have your social security number. Then I will need the same for your primary agent, which will be acting on your behalf. You can have co-primary agents so that those two can keep each other in line if one is go rogue. Or you can have a secondary and then a third one after if the first and second, the primary and the secondary can no longer serve. So I'll need all that information so that it's readily available. And then anatomical gifts. This will be in your medical power of attorney. Would you like to donate your organs? Are you even medically able to? Will they accept them? And what organs? You can even be that specific or know it all. Another thing is prolonged life. We talked about this in the opening just quickly. Is one medical opinion sufficient? Are you just going to take your doctor's word for it? Do you expect your family to be okay with that? Or do you wish to have another one or up to three? And that's going to cost. And we'll talk about the financial power of attorney. And how long? Do you want a month to go by? Do you want medical opinions within 3 days, 5 days? What is your situation? And so if you're incapacitated, how many medical opinions do you need? If you're brain dead, do you want one doctor to determine that or two or three? So that's nothing. And prolonging life. And do you, on the same thing as medical opinion, how long do you wish to be on life support? Can you breathe on your own? What will fail and how quickly will you fail when life, the support of life is taken? How long do you want to be on that support? What is reasonable to you if there is no improvement? So you take the responsibility off your loved one, the agents to make these decisions. You are deciding that. So it's allowing them to act confidently on your behalf. And then lastly, pain, right? Do you wish to have your discomfort and pain alleviated and how much? Do you wish to remain comfortable even if it hastens your death? So classic morphine. Do you want to stay away from morphine? Do you want them to use something equivalent? Because we all know what happens with morphine. It happened to my Viking grandmother and maternal grandmother and my father, my biological father. We need to think about what type, are we allergic to something? Will it adversely affect our recovery if there is even a recovery? So this is what's covered under the medical power of attorney. The medical power of attorney costs anywhere from a small shot, or you can do it yourself with Rocket Lawyer or any of those online things. They'll have these state specifics, $49, right, with a handling fee. Up to $250, some of the attorneys charge these days. You can wrap it into a package where you hire an estate planning attorney, and that firm will take care of everything for a fee. It's either flat or hourly, or like we discussed offline last week, there's a hybrid too. There's the contingency, which wouldn't apply in this case. So it'd be a hybrid, some sort of you pay at a certain time and or you pay more and it's a lesser hourly rate throughout, or it's just a flat hourly rate or a flat rate entirely. So next is the financial power of attorney. This is very important. I've seen some issues arise where the medical power of attorney, primary agent, gets in conflict with the financial power of attorney agent. And this is very difficult because if the medical bills need to be paid and the medical power of attorney is acting in his or her rightful way with fiduciary duty, the financial power of attorney can say, no, I'm going to negotiate these fees or I'm not paying them until this is resolved. And then there's more complications and aggravation. When it's one person, that can also be a power struggle, right? One person can feel like they can do anything. Within the financial power of attorney, again, the price is the same. $49, $59, $50 to $250. This really covers everything. You can limit what your agent has access, whether it's trading stocks, liquidating bonds, selling homes, entering into real estate leases with new tenants, closing and opening bank accounts, closing and opening financial accounts, retirement, all of these things they can do if they're doing it for your benefit. But how do you know? So there is number option N, which is all of the above. And this is when you deem your agent to be someone that is so trustworthy, you know, without a doubt that they are going to do the right thing for you with your wishes set out in this document. There's also in this document a way to remove them, but that is costly and that is very timely. So electing these two agents for our medical benefit and our financial management and benefit is very important. Some of us don't know someone would do that for us. So having trusted relationships is really important. If we don't, we do, but not to that level, right? There's the circle and the outer circles. There are companies that will act on your behalf and do exactly what you want them to do. So there are companies out there that can act as your agent. Any questions on these two powers of attorney that I suggest everyone get in place immediately? This is more important than your will or your trust at this time. These are number one.
Yes. Yes. I know of a situation that I'm glad you brought that up because I know of a situation of a friend's neighbor she started losing her memory.
Dementia.
Yeah. And her brother had her change her will as she was going through it. And my friend was very concerned because you are never around. You haven't helped. She was the one that they would always, her and her sister lived together, would go to her for assistance. Then when she passed, all of a sudden we find out how different the will was before she started having dementia. Gave him power. He sold her house, moved her sister out of the house, sent her elsewhere. And it was totally different from what my friend know what the original will was. So it was just like, I love the fact that you brought up if a situation like that happens, somebody could fight against it saying, hey, this will was changed in duress. This person has not the full capacity to be able to make those decisions. She's listening to her brother changing it to benefit him and a few family members. And she had money and assets from her husband who passed on. So they got access to that. They got access to her money and they sold her house. They did all this stuff. And it was just like, she was so upset because this is not what she wanted before she started having dementia and before she passed. So it's very interesting that a lot of people need to consider those trustworthy relationships, but also if something changes, you may want to look into it to protect your loved one if somebody is doing it for not the most positive reasons to benefit that loved one who is going through everything, because he refused to get her in-home care, all this. And there was multiple times that she had to be hospitalized because she injured herself or something happened, but refused to get them in-house care. So this is a topic that people really need to consider to keep something from that happening. It doesn't matter. You only have a few thousand dollars to your name. It makes a difference when people are money hungry.
And that's the thing we started off with. Why is this even important? For that very reason. And by the time that, let's say that your neighbor, sweetheart, who's heartbroken, right? I mean, shattered at what just, this is life-changing when this sort of thing happens. Not that she expected anything, but this just the family member, you would never dream that people would act this way. So even if she takes the old writing and the new writing and she brings that to probate court and it goes through the legal process, the time, the lost hours at work she has to take off to be at court to pay that. And by that time, guess what happened? All the assets have been liquidated and drained. Yeah. So even if the judge says, yes, this original will and last testament of your mother is valid, you can't unring the bell. All of the damage has already been done. So this is why it's important for us to have these things in place and that there's no confusion and that everyone that needs to have a copy has a copy. So that when it goes down, you have your copy because the old actually disappear.
Yes, because he was the only one who had a copy of it.
Of course.
Now, we saw from the audience, Elizabeth asked, is there a legal firm in Hawaii you would recommend to create a simple trust?
Ooh, let me take a look and I'll get back to you on that too, Elizabeth. I apologize. I don't know offhand, but I will definitely take a look.
Okay.
And the prices for a trust, it's usually based on how much the trust property is worth because it's deemed to be more complex in preparing. And yes, trusts, we'll go over trusts in a minute. Trusts are much more complex than a will. But I will get back to you on that. I would like to speak to our Montana viewer. For the last will and testament in Montana, you have to be over the age of 18 to testate, to actually make the document. Your capacity, you must declare that you are of sound mind. The signature must be authentic and completed in front of the notary public. So therefore, it must be notarized. And Montana does require that two witnesses also witness your signature. So when it has to be in writing. It can't be holographic or verbal. Okay. It must be in writing. It can be handwritten, but it must be in writing or typed. And you would then go to AAA or to the bank or actually hire a mobile notary to come to your home. And you will have two witnesses there as well as the notary. And the notary, you will sign. The notary will then verify, or the witnesses can sign and then the notary, or about either way for the witnesses and the notary. But you must sign before the notary. And right now, nationwide, it's anywhere between $10 and $15 for a signature. That will be for you, not for the witnesses. He or she is not witnessing the witnesses' signatures, only yours. Now, they have checked if it's you, if they personally know you, if you know a notary, they're an agent of their state, and it's boots on the ground. So say you're a Hawaii resident, you're in Montana, and something happens, your health shifts, or you can't go home right now. You finalize your trust or will on Montana soil, you must in fact use a Montana notary. So it's wherever your boots are on ground, that's the notary you must use, not because you're a Hawaii resident. So I hope that's helpful. Those are the criteria of a will in Montana.
Elizabeth also asks, where would you get these documents from for Hawaii residents?
A will, trust. Or a power of attorney?
Power attorney, will, trust, all of that. Yes.
Okay. So I will go ahead and place them. I'll actually give them to you, Dana or Moana. Let me see.
And our viewer from Montana said, I have drafted these documents for the state of Montana. Thank you for going over this. Mahalo.
Oh, mahalo. That's wonderful. there's something beautiful about drafting your own documents. You feel very empowered, and having these, your whole life, every financial account, your social, who you were married to, how many children you have with that person, when you divorce, like who your biological children are and their social security numbers, is very intimidating because you're giving this unknown person, whether they're a law firm or not, it's invasive, right? So to draft your own documents and then have someone review them is really a really good way to do it. As long as you have the skeleton, the structure, and you fill it in, you don't really need legalese. And in fact, legalese and jargon, it really convolutes the clear and concise document that should be your will. So keeping it state specific and to the way that you need it. There should, your agents or executors shouldn't look at this and say, what did she mean? Or the judge gets the document in front of him or her and says, what did she mean by this? I don't understand this. Yeah. So clear and concise, pure, plain English, right? Yeah. Referencing the proper laws in which it falls under and just hitting all the checkpoints.
Awesome. Let's see. Elizabeth also asked, where do we access the documents to create a medical power of attorney and financial power of attorney in Hawaii for free?
Yeah, every state, these are great questions, Elizabeth. Keep firing them. Every state has a standard form. So I will find those. I see there are some links to it from the Hawaii State Legislature right now, but I'd like to find you a good statutory form of power of attorney for Hawaii specific. So if you could give me a moment, maybe I'll just have Moana send it out later or put it in the chat. But great questions. Keep them coming.
Awesome. And then also we have from Remo saying, I'm in Washington State. How my wife and I start estate planning for our daughter.
Oh, your daughter. How old is your daughter?
Remo, if you could please put that in the chat. Let us know how old your daughter is.
Estate planning. So.
And then Remo said 26 years old.
Oh, she's 26. Okay. She was younger and needed to have a guardian if anything happened to you. This is great. Beyond the financials of planning for our kids, because mine's 30 and my twin grandsons are 8. So there's always some consideration going for that. 26, I mean, a will would be just fine. You only have one child, so you don't anticipate there being any type of dispute with siblings, which comes up frequently, especially as they get older. It's a fascinating thing to see as a trend. A will would be fine. A joint will between you and your husband would be fine. There's also a mirror will. So you and your husband make the same will so that if anything happens to one of you, the other one supersedes it. It's covered, right? It's kind of the same thing. It's a very interesting concept. But Washington, a will would be sufficient for you. Or you can do a trust. It depends on how many assets you have. If there's real estate, then it would go to your next of kin. There are some ways. And that leads me to a blurb that I put together about how important it is for us to work with our CPAs and our accountants. A lot of times when I get calls for estate planning, whether it's wills or trusts, mostly trusts lately, and a lot of power of attorneys, I cannot emphasize enough how important it is to work with me or whoever you hire, or you prepare the paperwork and I'm reviewing, for me to work with your accountant and be the in between you and your accountant or CPA, because they are the ones that truly know exactly how to structure your estate to pay less taxes and to make sure that your loved ones aren't taxed. This is extremely important because it's not just on a federal level, it's on a state level. And like Dana said, there's multiple layers of taxation, right? I've been finding that sidebar, that it's not necessarily a trust anymore that's beneficial. Sometimes it's an LLC, a limited liability, and running it as a family corporation. So C corps too, S corps. S corps obviously are taxed less than a C corp, their original type of corporation in corporate America in the US. So I can't really answer all of these very nuanced questions about financing and what would be the right structure. Once I get to speak with your accountant or CPA that you trust, they know your situation, they know what you own. And then I can actually say, okay, you know what, maybe this might be the right vehicle. And then I talk with the clients and then they decide among themselves. And then we move forward from there. So it's really important because there isn't just one type of tax. There's many different taxes. And if it's not cut by one, it's cut by another. Yeah, trusts are far complex. So sometimes an LLC is better, I'm finding. But then the wills, they don't apply to you while you're alive. They are only good when you die. Mm-hmm. A trust covers you while you're alive. And it's revocable, which means that you're able to make amendments while you're alive to, you're the trustee. So you're the one in charge of it, but you also own it. Then if you don't, like I had one client who's very wealthy. He is the testator, but then he named his daughter as the trustee. So he doesn't own anything. He owns it all, but she runs everything. He cannot access anything because she's managing it all. This also helps with liability. If you're out in the world and you're a business person or a crime has happened or you've got a breach of contract and someone is suing you, they can't touch your trust because someone else is actually administering it. So there's different ways for liability, not just taxation, that are helpful. But wills are they're much more simple, but they don't provide for you while you're here, while you're alive. This is where the medical and financial powers of attorney are extremely important. Mm-hmm. And so when the trust is revocable, you make amendments. As soon as you die, it's irrevocable. No one, obviously, you're not here, so you can't make amendments. So from that point on, it is done. You cannot make any changes to it. Yes. But, you know, we change cars and we buy properties. We sell properties if we're so lucky. We change investment firms. Those account numbers, those properties, those VIN numbers, those change. So it makes sense to have a revocable trust so you can make amendments. And for those my plant loving clients, those plants die and then they get new plant.
Also, Draylin also said, yes, thank you for the information. Being my husband in Asian law enforcement for over 25 years, we have access to lawyers for so much help. Thank you.
Good. It's wonderful. We need to take advantage of what's available to us.
Sis, what are your thoughts on prepaid legal shield? Are those legit or how does that differ from hiring a lawyer for these purposes?
They're legit. They're actual attorneys that are contracted by these companies to help the public. They're legit. Yeah, what I would suggest to be very careful about is some states have paralegals or legal document assistants that are very good, some very good. But different states don't allow them to service the public unless they're registered and they can prove their education experience. So just be careful on reaching out to others that deem themselves as experts.
Yeah.
But I do think that Legal Shield and all these other monthly prepaid services, they can be good. Yeah. Especially for the cost.
Yeah. Mike, I don't think it's prepaid legal, but I know my company offers that as a benefit to employees. That we have that. We just got it last year. So I got to go through that and figure out how to use that and apply what it is, be able to get your, do your will and any other things like that. And that way you can also get a discount, which I made a joke to them. I was like, I wish y'all got this before my accident. Then I would have saved myself the money or the 30 I got. But now we're like, you know, a good 7 months too late on this one.
Yeah, I mean, Dana brings up a good point, though. Ask if you have like employee assistance programs or anything like that within your company. Definitely ask those questions because I think a lot of us, myself included, like I was like, I don't need that. But I sat in on a estate planning and financial planning workshop. And that's the reason, like how I came up with this idea. I was like, oh, there's so many of our community who like are not even thinking this way.
Yes.
Just haven't been exposed to it because one, nobody taught it to someone so that we could pass it on. But yes, you could have free resources too.
We didn't need this in ancient times, Moana. Yeah, there was no dispute. We just had, everyone knew how it works. Now we have all these laws and it just makes it more complicated.
Yeah.
Working within the structure, right? We have to. Otherwise, the state will get all of the property we work so hard for and it won't go to our loved one.
Yes.
What good is that? And even just like pink slips for your car that's paid off. Have those ready in a folder so that your loved ones can access it. Otherwise, guess what? They can't even get the pink slip until they have the death certificate. Then you got to prove that you're even able to sell the car because it looks like theft at that point. So you can't even liquidate the assets that you no longer need to help pay for the end of life services and other things. It's our job to help our loved ones, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. Why leave a mess for them? Already my stuff she's going to have, my daughter's going to have to get rid of. But can you imagine the deeper things of accessing my bank account, selling my cars, accessing certain things? Why? I would literally just throw my hands up and say, forget it. I don't even want it. I can't deal with this right now.
Yeah.
Manu, what is your thoughts? I found that's fascinating, and I end up doing it myself. My grandfather, way beyond his time, he decided to go ahead and get funeral insurance. He bought it, which was fascinating. He bought it in the 50s. So he got and he allocated everything. So when he passed, they said, based on what he paid for, he gets all of this. So we were just like, oh, and he already allocated what all he wanted. He wanted his funeral to be at this church. He wanted the funeral home, and the funeral home had a copy of all of his wishes and everything. And it was so interesting. I ended up getting it myself to make sure my loved ones don't have to worry about it. And of course, it's all prepaid. So when something happens, we didn't have to worry about paying for anything. So we didn't have the wait on from his life insurance, which I know a lot of people get told your life insurance is to cover your expenses. But can you go into what the difference between, if you know it, having the funeral insurance and the life insurance of when something does happen, how it is for you to be able to get those funds to cover those kind of stuff?
Yeah, definitely. This is part of the will and the trust. I have a questionnaire that I'll send to clients and they fill it in. And then at that point, I know who the carrier is for the policy. And it has the policy number or the account number. And it has your representative and the phone number and email in which to reach. It makes it very simple for your loved one to see who they need to contact. And then you go ahead and alert them that your family member has passed and that you'll be receiving the death certificate shortly. What do they need from you? And they'll start the process on their end. See, it alleviates your loved ones if we're having to find the policy and who to contact and what the policy number is. All of it's in the paperwork. And then as far as burial insurance, it's fantastic. And it is offered out there. I just never heard of anyone doing it in the 50s, which is remarkable.
Yeah. Yeah, when I heard it, and when we saw how much he paid back then, he paid, I think it was a total of $3,000 for all of his funeral costs back then. And he did monthly payments of $20 or something back then until it was paid off and everything. But he had his burial plot elected. He already had what he wanted on his headstone, where he was going to be buried at, the church his service was going to be at, where his wake was going to be at. And they actually let us know because of how much he paid then of today's prices. It was like, actually, because it wasn't available then, it was like, we can have monitors that could show the slideshow of pictures and everything. So we're like, they were like, he says he wanted pictures on boards, but we could do it on monitors. So that's what we did. We had pictures because he was a photographer of family, of his experiences showing through the wake. But because he paid for it on pennies on the dollars of what it is to this, and that's one thing we learned is by you paying for what it is now, value of that just goes up when it's your turn. And they were like, they actually let us know, hey, the casket he elected is not being made anymore, but based on what he paid for, you could get a casket that will play his favorite songs. And when you come up to his burial plot, it will play music. We're like, no, that will be freaky.
High tech.
But they said he paid for top of the line. So he couldn't get that because it ended up being a good 70 years later that we're using this, and they were like, y'all can do that. We're like, no, we're just going to keep it according to his wishes, even though he could get top of the line. We don't need anything walking. When you walk up, it starts playing his favorite music and all this, and it will have on, they said, have on a headstone saying what the music is playing on a little LED screen as you're there. We're like, no.
Wow, sounds very disco-ish, that Vegas style.
But they were like, you can get that kind of stuff. And then, of course, there's many other kind of things you can do. But it's just, wow, if you go ahead and invest in it now and then you don't pass a good 50 years later, the amount of relief, especially my family, we felt so much relief when we didn't have to worry about waiting for the life insurance, because they were saying it was going to take a couple weeks before we could get any of the funds to cover his house and all that kind of other stuff. So it's like the fact that we already had everything taken care of and we didn't have to fork the money until the life insurance came, it was amazing. And it's like the fact that he had the foresight to do that, it made me like, all right. And he was one, it's just, hey, we have to, as Hawaiians, as people of color, we have to do this, because he's just like, the rich and the other people that are well off, they make sure those things are done that their families don't worry about. That's why you see these beautiful funerals and they're just there and they leave. They don't have to sit there and have meetings with the family like, all right, we got to take care of this. Okay, the casket's going to cost this much. The funeral cost this much. Whose credit card is going to pay for this? Whose credit card is going to pay for this? Whose credit card going to pay the, who's going to pay the church? Who's going to pay for food? If you, all that. So it was like food, all, everything was taken care of. We didn't have to worry about, he included the cost of getting his death certificates, the cost of putting every nook and cranny that you may not consider, he had it included, including giving a donation to the church, a payment to the pastor was included, all of that. And it was stuff that, hey, I didn't consider. We need to make sure that's covered. So when I got mine, and I found out here in the state of Georgia, you can get it at the funeral, a lot of the funeral homes here, you can get it there. And whichever funeral home you want to operate in, you can work with them with the insurance company that oversees it, and they'll meet you there. And when I did mine, they went over and they're like, okay, let's pick out your casket. Let's pick out your plot. My plot is going to be under this beautiful tree.
I love it.
I was like, I want to keep it close to nature. So I was like, oh, I want to be buried over here. There's no other plots here. I'll be the first plot there. But it's stuff like that, that until that I saw that, which a lot of people don't, they don't know the option. They depend on life insurance to cover these things. Then you don't find out that you're waiting on sometimes a month to get that money after the person passes.
There's quite a few companies that offer funeral insurance, AARP, Progressive, Nationwide, Aflac, Lincoln Heritage, several, a lot of the life insurance policies.
Lincoln Heritage is mine.
Okay. And you know what? Amazing company that your grandfather dealt with, because that integrity, I don't know if it exists today. I mean, how would they even know that? They could have said, no, your grandfather wasn't here.
Yeah.
And they just pocketed that money. And I think that's the world that we live in today. It's so difficult to trust that even if we put these things in place, that it won't be horrible for our loved ones. And on that note.
But he was smart. He made sure the funeral home, the pastor, he wanted to oversee the service. He made sure 6 different people had copies of his funeral plans and of that funeral policy that he had. So it was like he had his checks and balances, basically, and not because
that says the ultimate aloha to me. Even though they're departing, they're make, they want to make sure that, I mean, that is showing love and respect for your ohana, right? Mm-hmm. I just love that so much.
Yes. And it was just a weight off our shoulders, because I've also seen how my family has dealt with other loved ones who's passed that didn't have those arrangements, and seeing them trying to figure out the funding to pay for everything before the life insurance comes. And it's a world of difference. And that was one thing I wanted to bring up, because a lot of people don't consider, well, I already got life insurance. My family be taking care of it. it's not as easy as you think. But that is, you know, the funeral home has it, because as soon as they get notified that loved one has passed, they start working on everything that is outlined in your funeral policy to get it all set up. So they made the calls, was like, all right, they called the church, was like, all right, we needed that. And then all they basically asked my aunts and my mom and them was like, okay, what day do y'all want to do the funeral? Because everything else is basically taken care of. We just need to know what day and what day is the wake. And everything else, they just made the calls, which is like, all right, let's go ahead and start getting this set up. And it was just like,
amazing testimonial on these websites. Really, because you're a happy customer.
Yeah.
Helps all of us too as consumers understand where we can go and who we can trust.
And the thing is, we have to know about those websites because most people don't. Like, yeah. I didn't even know it until I lost my grandfather. But before then, I didn't even consider a funeral insurance because I had my policies for life insurance. I definitely want to make sure we have someone on here to talk about different insurance policies, because this also helped me learn the difference between term and universal policies and all this. I was just like, whoa.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's great. There's so much we don't know because we're not taught. But I think we're speaking from probably a privileged point of view where we have enough money to make our bills every month. This is all like dream and excess. If we look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, this is definitely not on it to plan and strategize. Yep. It's to have enough for gas to get to work, to pay for food for our loved ones and animals, to pay just the regular bills as our world gets more and more expensive. But even then, it is important for the things that we do own and do want to pass on that we do have a will or a trust. A will would be good just to leave items. They can be physical items, heirlooms, or something you made that you know you want this specific gift to be made to a specific person. That is really important. You can still do that.
Yes. Especially, now, this would be a question I always wonder, because I've seen this not only in my own family, but other families too, of understanding the value of a lot of these assets, because a lot of people are like, oh, I remember from a neighbor of my family's, they were like, oh, she has all this stuff. We got to get rid of it and sell it. Then my mom likes to watch those antiquing shows. And we found out, like, some of the stuff that she was collecting was worth some money. And they were selling these items for $5 each. And we're finding out the lowest price item that they were showing on the show that she had is worth $5,000. And they find, and this antique show, they go to these flea markets and stuff, and they find these items that are sold cheaply. But then you find out they're worth thousands and sometimes millions of dollars. And how would family members understand the value of some of these things? Because sometimes they may not know, for someone who's a collector, these things are actually worth some money and it's not just junk. Because, like I said, someone's junk and someone else's treasure, but these things that people might view as junk is treasure. How can families look into these assets to really find the true value of these items before trying to dissolve some of these assets?
So it's interesting because, unfortunately, some don't care. They either trash it or they put it into a storage and go over it later, or they give it away because they need to get it out of the house because the house is selling, or something's happening with the primary residence where the loved one lived. Honestly, today, because of the technology we have in our hands, you can easily get onto eBay and do a quick search for the maker. And you'll see other items, if it's not the specific item, come up and get a good gauge of how much it's worth and how much it's going, especially if it's in mint condition. I have a friend and also my sister that does this with glassworks and also mid-century pieces. Yeah, I mean, they whip open their phone and go, oh my God, this is worth $4,500. I'll take it. They clean it and then they post it on Etsy or other websites. So I think it's just the time, right? While you're grieving, to give honor the pause,
Yes.
Give a moment. If you have to, don't get rid of anything. Give the items that are readily available, jewelry, trinkets, or things that your loved one wanted specific family members to have or friends. Give those away immediately while you're simultaneously handling the funeral arrangements, accessing the bank account, and tying things up. And then go, maybe stick it in storage and go through it then. When you've had a moment to grieve, handle the necessities, the pragmatic stuff, and then the emotional, sentimental stuff, go through that when you're ready. And it's also therapeutic and can provide healing.
Yes.
Yeah. Connection with the one that just departed. And also the release, right? The gratitude of having that time with them and adopting life without them in physical form, even though they're still with us in spiritual form. So I would just say honor the pause, put it aside, and go through it later. Don't just get rid of everything.
Yes. Thank you for definitely covering that. Because I think that, like you said, that's the first thing is like clearing everything out, get rid of everything. A lot of people don't consider the sentimental value that is also attached to a lot of those things too.
Then there's also those that leave a house sitting with everything as is because they just can't enter the place. There's different levels of severity of grief. Yeah. Not easy.
Yeah. Definitely.
But then again, there's those loved ones that we're glad they're gone.
I mean,
variety of response. Like, thank God.
Yes. I always tell people, I'm like, be careful of that kind of energy because it can come right back. That is how that energy works and karma works. If you give that negative energy, just be careful of the stuff you say to others or think of others.
Yeah, work through the pain and get eventually you get to forgive. You never forget, but you forgive and you move on.
Yes. And the audience have any other questions? We have a few minutes left. Definitely, if you have any additional questions you want to ask of Kumumanu, please definitely put them in the chat. If you do put this in the chat or you're watching this on the replay, please, if you're watching this on replay, instead of putting your questions in the chat, please email us at moananuipodcast@gmail.com. And then that way we can get the questions over to Kumumanu. That way she can take a look at your question and try to get the answer to you. And we can email you back with the information she provides.
Yes.
Talk about one thing, if that's okay. Last year, I prepared a trust for a woman in New York. When she phoned, she was a referral, and she's a divorced woman. And after that Atlanta discussion, Dana, I don't know. Divorced woman creating a trust, but drilling down into her life, her assets, and her intent with this trust, I learned that she had a high-functioning adult son with special needs. While he's working and he's functional, he's also receiving benefits from the state and federally for his treatment, right? And for his care. So it led to a unique situation where, and not so unique, two trusts were made. One was for her and what she was going to leave him personally ended up going into his trust so that it didn't actually count as income for him or resource. So it didn't nullify his state and federal benefits of assistance. So see, this is one of those complex things with trust, but it actually worked in his favor. So when drilling down and working with your situation, there'll be many, questions asked to try to understand the full picture. It's not just a quick, anyone that you hire or speak to, oh yeah, that's simple. Boom, boom, pay attention to that because it may not be that simple. And in the end, you might be more hurt. Yeah, just be very careful when someone says that, oh, that's simple. It's just this. Talk thoroughly through every situation that may, in fact, make it a little more complicated, just so you have your bases covered.
Yeah, mahalo for that. With such great information tonight, I can already tell that February is going to have to be part two because there's questions I wanted to ask and we didn't even get to those. But I think there's so many different circumstances that can come up with this that just really make those little details like super important. And when we're talking about Ohana, like we have extended Ohana and sometimes we have
Hanai,
or just people who come under your care that you don't expect to happen. And then what the ramifications are of that, not just for you, but even like having conversations with your family, because are you setting it up Are you giving the responsibility to somebody who like even wants it or is prepared to have it? Like those kinds of
right. things. And that's the thing. The trust is beautiful at this point because you can lay out, you can even create bank accounts for certain mm-hmm. beneficiaries. And then it's immediately transferred into that bank account. But I can't touch it unless they're a certain age and a certain age. So there's like different distributions, maybe not all one windfall of a sum. And then also some will even say not until you graduate college or not mm-hmm. until this or not until that. Mm-hmm. And until they can prove that, then they don't receive the money that was left for them. What I'd like to say is there's insurance for long-term care that we should probably all think about. And yes. I haven't done this yet, I'll be honest. And mm-hmm. this insurance will help cover a large percentage, if not 100% of your care, if you do in fact need at-home residency. So at-home help, someone coming in to assist you, long-term care, a nurse or an assistant based on the severity of your needs. Residences where you either have a roommate or you have a solo room, or hospice. We talked about hospice. Most of us are familiar about this, but if you're not, it's when deemed you have less than 6 months to live. And then they place you on hospice. And that's when you go home. You've resigned that you're going to depart in physical form and you choose to leave in the comfort of your home. They will send hospice care every day. This is some of the insurance that's available for us today. And I suggest it because costs are extremely high, and they're only getting higher, costing up to $25,000 to $40,000 a month. I could live in a mansion on a bus. Anyway, consider at the end of life planning, this is what this is. This is our estate. This is our destiny, right? What does our destiny include? Maybe not having family close by or anyone. I personally am strong-willed. I'm a bit of an a-hole. I want to take care of myself. I want to be independent. I want to do everything. I want to go up the stairs myself. I want to be able to sit on the toilet by myself. But if there's a point where I need assistance, I mean, how humiliating for me. I don't want my daughter doing that or my grandsons. So I will, in fact, consider long-term care insurance. And so that's something I need to look into. So we're always in process, right? That we can tighten up on because it's our job. Take care of ourselves. It's the ultimate of self-love, honestly. It's not bubble baths and chocolates and massages. It's this stuff right here. The nitty gritty that causes us to have to look into our courage and deal with these uncomfortable topics because they're important.
Yes. Yes.
100%.
Thank you for having me here.
Looks like I love the engagement that we had tonight. We got a bunch of questions coming in. And that's really what we wanted for this segment. Next month, February, we're going to do part two. And I think in part two, some of the topics that we'll talk about is that end of life planning in terms of like the hospice.
Yes.
Assisted living, the costs of those.
Getting that assisted living insurance that Kumana was talking about, how to get that, where to find it.
Yes. And especially why this is even more important when you have Ohana who are in the islands and maybe you live away or vice versa. And how these things can come up unexpectedly, especially when we talk about aging parents who have dementia and can no longer take care of themselves. And then I also want to talk about first the ramifications of the difference between a first parent going and then a second parent going. Because I think myself, I know that there were some things that were easier. But when both of your parents leave, then there's a whole lot of other more complications that come.
Yeah, I had a friend that had to fly to Japan because he lost both parents. Mm-hmm. And then unfortunately he passed while he was there. So it was very complicated of handling all of those layers for his family, not only losing the father, then a week later lost his mom. Mm-hmm. And then while he was there handling the estate, he ended up losing his life too while he was there. It's definitely something
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. The stress of grief and then the added stress of unsettled affairs, that's nothing to play with. As someone who has unfortunately gone through this once. Yes, please have your affairs in order. Like Kumumanu said it earlier, it is showing love and aloha for your ohana, please.
Yes.
Alrighty. Thank you, Kumumanu, for being so generous with your time and sharing your mana'a with everybody. I know our listeners who are live, I'm definitely grateful for your insight and advice and guidance. And for those who I know are going to catch this on a replay, I know they're going to find it awesome too. Like, Kumu Manu, if people are looking to consult you for your services for a more tailored approach, where is the best way for them to come?
Exactly. Just email is fine. Yeah. ManuLegalAffairs@gmail.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
ManuLegalAffairs@gmail.com.
Yeah. So if you want to go ahead and hire Kumu Manu to help, like Moana says, tailor some advice and helping you through this legal process, definitely shoot her an email. And that way you have someone that it is part of the community that can give you the guidance. Because I know a lot of times we want to find someone who is like us or been through our experiences or from where we're from. Because especially if you're on the continent, you have a disconnect with a lot of these attorneys here that don't understand the struggles of what our loved ones are dealing with on the island, but also being in the diaspora, being spread out all over the place, that we're not all together like we would love to be.
So definitely keep in touch, guys, and tune in for part two of Estate Money. With that said, take care, everybody. We'll talk to you guys soon. Aloha. Aloha.